This is Cape Talk.
This is Cape Talk.
Well, a very good morning to you. Welcome back. I'm Jean-Michel. This is your weekend early breakfast show. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed on social media that there is this fashion of almost making it flippant and cool and a joke that we have to rely on wine. You see a lot of women and moms putting memes onto their Facebook page and on Twitter saying, oh, just one glass of wine. And the person in the picture has a massive glass of wine the size of their body. Or, you know, there's a meme that goes around with a little girl that says, well, when the doctor asks, how many glasses of wine have you had? And she's like, I don't know. I will say this much. I don't drink because I have alcoholism in my family. I do drink every now and again, but I really, it's not a regular occurrence. And I just see a lot of my 30-something friends leaning on wine, if that's a word that I could use. And sometimes it gets messy and I'm just like, do you even realize that you are leaning so heavily on alcohol? And I stumbled upon something that's called almost an alcoholic. And there's a couple of questions. Do you drink to relieve stress? Do you drink by yourself? Do you look forward to drinking every day? Is your drinking related to one or more health problems? Do you drink to relieve boredom or loneliness? Do you drive after drinking? Do you drink to maintain the buzz? Do you find that drinking helps you overcome your shyness? If you answered positively to any of these things, you could suffer from what is called the almost effect, a term coined by Robert Doyle. Now, this morning we are joined by Janet Garand, who is the founder of World Without Wine. Janet, do any of the things that I've just said sort of resonate with you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. See, I think certainly the Facebook memes, et cetera, we tend to have these beliefs that I like to call them. You know, we believe because the wine industry has done such an amazing job at marketing, particularly to women, we tend to believe that we actually need wine in our lives for it to be a full and happy life. You know, we need a wine to de-stress at the end of the day. We need a wine to enjoy being with our friends. So we kind of internalize these beliefs, and then we put on our Facebook in the morning, and lo and behold, there's all the memes that you talk about, which actually reinforce our beliefs, because what's happened is alcohol's become so normalized, and, you know, everybody seems to drink every day, and you tend to mix with people with the similar behaviors to yours. So you don't actually realize that, you know, there's anything wrong. Everybody's thinking, oh, they work hard and they play hard, and that's the norm, and it has become the norm for a great many people, and it's dangerous territory that many people are in.
I have a colleague at work who is completely given up drinking. He is a member of AA, and we had a conversation around how sort of his life has changed from giving up drinking, because I think a lot of people just go with the flow and they find themselves drinking more and more and more and more, and relying on it and needing it to get through their day, their week, their month. And yeah, he said that his life, he didn't realize how bad the problem had got until he tried to stop.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if we drink on a daily basis, I mean, even we're only talking about a couple of glasses of wine here, not even a bottle, but if we have those couple of glasses every evening, we're the next day, you know, we're in a state of mild withdrawal, really, which feels like anxiety. And then that's why that 6 o'clock drink, you know, tastes so awesome, because it's taking you out of withdrawal. So the daily drinking thing, and the thing is, if you're drinking every day, you never sleep properly, because it affects our sleep adversely. We don't get our REM sleep. So that's why chronic fatigue builds up. And what's interesting is that many people, they suffer from anxiety, they suffer from depression, they'll go and see their doctor or their therapist. They'll never think about the alcohol that they're drinking. And alcohol is a depressant, you know, and it's just the worst thing you can do for anxiety. And just a couple of weeks off alcohol will make many people feel completely different. think people aren't connecting the dots, really. They're not connecting the dots between their alcohol consumption and anxiety and depression and mental health issues.
So that's one of the things that sort of resonate with me when I try and broach the subject with somebody who I think might be drinking too much. Then they'll say, "Oh, I don't have a problem. I can stop whenever I want." And then I say, "Well, have you?" And they're like, "No, not really. I don't need to. I don't have a problem." Yeah. It's like a them and us kind of mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
But that thing about sleeping and the anxiety, a lot of people will say that I need to have a glass of wine so that I can sleep better at night.
Yeah, well, the thing is, if you're drinking wine to help you sleep, then what you're doing is you're sedating yourself. So, well, depending on how much you've had, you'll be passing out more than sleeping well. And the usual pattern is as the alcohol leaves your body at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up kind of full of anxiety. So it's not the restful sleep. When people do quit drinking, I mean, when I quit drinking, I struggled to get to sleep. I had to, force myself to read till 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. But eventually your sleeping patterns will come back and you'll have a completely different quality of sleep, because we need about 6 or 7 cycles of REM sleep. But if we drink, we only get 1 or 2. So just imagine the long-term effect of never having that lovely restorative sleep.
So my thing is that also you need to be looking at the reasons why you can't sleep. I struggle to sleep, and I know that it is a case of trying to shut down my brain. I need to get off of my phone before I go to bed, because I'm sitting at a laptop working at home before I go to sleep. And I often find myself at 2 o'clock going, "Ooh, I should have stopped this before." And now I'm struggling to actually fall asleep. And so if you're relying on the alcohol, you never quite figure out the problem. And the issues why you can't sleep.
Yeah, and you just have to go through that difficult period where you're not drinking, not sleeping, but your body will right itself. But it's alcohol, the neurotoxin, and we're pouring it into our brains and our bodies, and obviously there's going to be side effects.
Tell me about your journey. When did you think or maybe discover that you had a problem with it?
Oh, this almost alcoholic thing. I mean, that was definitely me, and kind of in denial, I think, as many people are, especially us ladies. I mean, I was an extremely functioning alcoholic. I think that's how I'd describe myself. I always had a good career, nice family, just holding everything together, but, only just holding it together towards those last few years. And when I decided that I had to make a change, I think I was crossing over from the almost alcoholic into the full-blown alcoholism. Wow. Because I was having blackouts, and I could never go a day without drinking. It just didn't feel right. And one day I had what we call a walking, talking blackout, where I can't remember anything, but apparently I was behaving completely normally in a group of people, and that just frightened me. Because a blackout like that, it means that your brain is so soaked in alcohol, it can't even make memories, And then another wake-up call for me was that I had breast cancer, and the links between alcohol and breast cancer now are getting more and more out there in the public domain. So I'm sure there was a link for me between those two. And yeah, so I stopped 3 years ago, just over 3 years now. And to summarize my journey, my first year was extremely tough, but I kind of hung in there and I gritted my teeth and got through that year. And then things really changed for me. The benefits, it came in two ways, really. First of all, the physical benefits. I was sleeping better finally, and I had loads of energy, and I lost weight, and I just felt like a different person. But even after that, I had another wave of benefits, which I wasn't expecting. And that's when, I always summarize this by saying that there's a wonderful book that I recommend to people called The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober. And there are so many benefits of not drinking, and I have, lots of energy. And what's nice is that I've reconnected with my purpose. because I've had a long corporate career, but now I'm using all those skills that I developed in my corporate career to help other people stop drinking. And that feels like I've got, you know, real meaning in my life, maybe for the first time.
Your journey, the first year you said was tough, and now when you go out socially, is it still a daily battle? I know in Alcoholics Anonymous they say it's a step-by-step, day-by-day kind of thing. Do you still find that, or has it become sort of something that's just a part of you?
No, it's become part of me now. It's the new normal. And I mean, just last night, for example, I had a mocktail party and we had plenty of people here and no alcohol. And we had a blast, you know. So it is, I know it's possible now. And our approach is very different to Alcoholics Anonymous because, you know, we're not about willpower and one day at a time, etc. Yeah, we say, the workshops that we run, we say, choose an alcohol-free life and make it awesome. You know, choose this lifestyle. So I feel that I've got a completely different lifestyle now. And I'm not battling at all. But it took me a while to get there, to be perfectly honest.
We are talking to Janet Garon, the founder of World Without Wine. And we're talking about becoming an alcohol, or how it happens so seamlessly in society. It's so accepted, it's so out there that we need to lean on alcohol to get through our day, our week. And Janet, as I mentioned at the start of the interview, I don't really drink. I just have never, it doesn't really agree with my body. Sometimes I get sort of like pins and needles between my shoulders. It's a strange thing. And my mother doesn't drink a lot. And I've never felt that much enjoyment from drinking. And my thing is that it's such a social difficulty to get through. When you go out on a night with the girls and they say, can I get you a drink? And you say, please, can I have a Coke Light or a Sprite or something?
Yeah.
That is almost the hardest thing for me, is just being like, no, I don't drink. And they look at you like, where are you from?
How do you
navigate that social, I don't know, you almost seem like a bit of a stick in the mud, a little bit of a wet blanket. How do you navigate that?
Yeah, I mean, it is a big thing. And I think that's one of the things that holds people back from making this decision, you know, to in effect change their life. Because, we're human beings. We like to be one of the herd. And if we peel off from that herd, then we feel vulnerable. And there we are, you know, under attack for not drinking. We have a lovely expression that I like. Alcohol is the only drug you have to justify not taking. And, you know, indeed you do. But I think the thing to do is to recognize that. And what we recommend to people that come on our workshop, because this always, you know, we ask them to brainstorm, are you afraid of getting sober, we say. And that's, you know, more or less the first thing that comes up. How am I going to socialize? So we say to people, just have your lines ready. And I think the best line, which I use personally, was I'm on a health kick for 100 days. So I'm trying, you know, not to eat any sugar and not to drink alcohol for 100 days. So, you know, just get me something else and I'll have this and I'll have that. And there are some alcohol-free drinks on the market now. So we are having a bit of a choice. But I think that 100 days, because nobody can really argue about that. You know, everybody's on a health kick and whatever. So do that. And then if you come across someone towards the end of your 100 days, then you need to say, you know, I'm feeling so awesome after this 100 days, I'm going to do another 100 days. And the more confident you get about it, because the worst thing you can do, it's a bit like dieting, the worst thing you can do is say, oh, I shouldn't really, and then look a bit, you know, uncertain. It's about being confident. And the more times you say it, the more confident you get. And the more advanced, you know, you are into your sobriety, the more you can have fun with it. You can just tell people anything, you know. And actually, people are intrigued by non-drinkers. And once you can realize that, just, you know, have fun with it. We say sobriety is a superpower. You know, anybody that can socialize sober in this kind of society has got superpowers.
Yeah, one of the things that my friends, my close friends will say is if somebody sort of who doesn't know me offers me a drink and I say no, they'll say, oh, don't worry, she doesn't need it. She will outlast us all. She will go all night. She will go party, whatever.
Yeah, you will. Because when I used to drink a lot, you know, I used to get sleepy, and I just, wanted to go home early.
All right, so the listener at home, if you are sitting at home and you are an almost alcoholic and you want to share your journey with us, you can call us 021-446-0567. Maybe you are an alcoholic and you've stopped drinking. It was a struggle, but you're doing it now and the benefits are completely outweigh the effort of giving up. You can give us a call on that number. You can send us a WhatsApp text message, 072-567-1567. You can also send voice notes to that number, or you can SMS 31567. And in closing, Janet, you did mention that you run workshops. Tell us about the workshop. I know you've got one coming up on the 23rd of June and the 25th of August in Cape Town. Tell me about those workshops. What are people going to get out of it? Who needs to attend? Tell us more about that.
Sure. Well, certainly, I would say that the average person that comes to a workshop is an almost alcoholic. And one thing we didn't mention was the safe limits. You know, if you want to make sure that you're looking after your health and drink a little bit, then 1.5 bottles of wine a week is the safe limit. So people, you know, that are knocking back a lot more than that a week are some of the people that need to come. But the people that come along, they're kind of clever enough to realize, you know, even if they don't know this expression, almost alcoholic, they know that they're on a slippery slope. And they know that, you know, if they're really going to develop their potential in life and be great parents to their children, you know, maybe they need to examine their relationship with alcohol and make a change. So what happens in a workshop, it's a one-day thing. It's very interactive. We start off with a share. That's something we stole from Alcoholics Anonymous, but quite a short share. But it's always a very powerful time, and we find that people are saying out loud for the first time ever, probably, how unhappy alcohol is making them and how worried they are. So everybody does a share, and then we spend the morning giving people the bad news, really, or the damage that alcohol does, and we brainstorm other reasons to make a change. I mean, obviously there's other things like saving money and getting more healthy generally. And then in the afternoon, it's more practical because we have a toolkit. We've run 24 workshops now, so I like to see them as a kind of laboratory. We've tried out lots of things, and we've now got this fabulous toolkit of 15 things that can really help, you know, tips, tools, motivation, things that really help people, and they're tried and tested. So we go through the toolkit, and then people leave with an action plan and a support group. There's usually amazing bonding that's taken place in that group. So we put them all on WhatsApp and they're chatting to each other night and day. And then we meet up physically at least once a month. So we're building communities, you know, in Joburg and Cape Town. And we are starting in Durban in September. So, and also we do coaching. I'm a qualified recovery coach, so we offer a one-to-one session a week after the workshop just to, you know, reflect on what's the learnings and look at the action plan. So that's a bit about the workshop.
Perfect, Janet. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, I think the website is the best. It's just called worldwithoutwine.com.
And they can get all the details, all the detail workshops there, recovery coaching, all the blogs that you guys have got there. It's a really, I've been browsing through the website as we've been talking, and I think it's a really great portal for people to find out information. Worldwithoutwine.com. We've been speaking to Janet Garand, who is the founder of Worldwithoutwine.com, and she's been 3 years sober and is there to try and help you also make that switch to giving up alcohol and living a nice and healthy, clean lifestyle. If you have any experiences you want to share with giving up alcohol or the fact that you can't, that number is always available to you, 021-446-0567. You can WhatsApp us, text messages or voice notes, 072-567-1567.